Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where I come up with five sketch ideas. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to be doing the full episode myself while Alistair provides the backing track. I'm going to be laying down some sweet sketch ideas over the top of his beats.
Yeah.
It's a new format. Could be the new hip-hop. I found out about drill rap yesterday.
I think it's been around for a while, right?
Gutter rap? Yeah, no, it has. It has. But apparently rap is a Western Sydney phenomenon.
Well, we're all in the
West
into gutter
Sydney.
Rap. We're all into gutter rap. Only some of us are into staring at the stars rap.
Yes. I think if Oscar Wilde was around today, he'd be a rapper. You know how people say stuff like that?
I thought you would have said he would have had lines like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, who are the people who are famous today just for witticisms? Just a single sentence.
Yeah.
I suppose that's comedians.
Who's that lady who did that TV show where it's her and Scorsese looking through a little window from a door that goes into a kitchen? It's on Netflix.
I have no idea.
You know, she's like one of those ladies. It's like she wrote like an essay 35 years ago, and then she has a career based entirely around that.
She wrote what?
She like wrote like an essay like, you know, 35 years ago, and then she had her whole, you know, speaking career that's based entirely off of that.
And it's her, it's Scorsese,
looking through a little window
into a kitchen. This seems like an idea that was made up by a computer, Alistair. It doesn't have any of the internal logic of a sentence.
It's Annie Leibovitz.
Annie Leibovitz. And sure, I know that name.
As she sits down with Martin Scorsese, she wanders the New York City streets and fascinating mind of wry writer, humorous and raconteur, Fran Leibovitz.
Okay.
As she sits down with Martin Scorsese. So you're going to walk around the streets of New York City while she's sitting down with Martin Scorsese, and they both look through a little window that you have in those two-way swinging doors
this window element, Alistair, is really what kicks it to the next level.
Yeah.
Because that's the X factor that, like, that's the flaw in the computer programming that stops my brain from being able to compile this as a concept. That's the typo.
Yes, that little
in
window.
The line of code. Yeah. Yeah.
Andy, you're going to fucking shit when you Google pretend it's a city and then scroll down about 9 images and see her and Martin Scorsese looking through two little circular windows Yeah.
I bet there's a difference between seeing a picture of them doing it and understanding what role that plays in the show, if any. Like, certainly how it plays a headline role in the show.
Do you think, you know, we're beyond the point of turning rooms and closets into rooms, right? Like bedrooms and things like that, to sort of be like, oh, we can rent out this closet here, that'll be an extra room. Because, you know, economically, we're not doing good in terms of, you know, the world. And, I mean, you know, you are not doing good, but also a lot of the world is not doing good. And what about, but like, I reckon you wouldn't have to adapt doors that much to just thicken them out a little bit so that somebody could sleep in a door.
Inside the cavity.
Yeah.
Of
so like,
one of those
if there was a way,
core doors.
Like, let's say the door was a little bit thicker, right? Maybe maybe 3 to 4 times thicker.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, and inside was like a kind of a foam molding that
sure.
you could sort of be just secured into.
And like so an door, action figure in a you know, in an extruded plastic packaging.
Much like that. Much like that. But the door itself has its own door so that you can open up the door.
Sure. So of course, how else would you get in there?
So the door is now like a case where you would kind of keep fine cigars you know, or special special action figures, you know, that you're keeping. And maybe it has a little window, a round window that you could look through, maybe with Martin Scorsese. You know, that sees inside if you wanted to. Maybe there'd be a slider on the inside. Anyway,
yeah.
But there's a foam molding. It's front and back so that it makes you comfortable. It's like it's like being pressed between two mattresses, foam mattresses.
Well, it's as close to you lying down as you're going to get while remaining vertical, I think.
It's like double lying down. So it makes up for being vertical by double lying down because you're in between two mattresses. But I think in the arm area there should be at least a little bit of room where you can reach your face and hold your phone up in front, right, really close to your face. But so there'll be a little pocket of air area in front of your face,
like maybe a big bubble,
yeah, a little bubble, so that allows you to bring your arm into that area. You can slide open the circular windows, see if Martin Scorsese is there. Slide the window closed. but then you can also hold your phone in front of your face, and also it gives the illusion of there being air in there by having a bit of space.
Yeah, great. And on that phone, are you watching The Irishman as Martin Scorsese intended?
As he intended, on a tiny, and well, actually you could probably watch that on your iWatch.
Sure. Now, Alistair, what problem does this solve for you? This is when the door becomes the room. I mean, you know, it's artistically, it's a beautiful idea.
Yeah. What I think is the problem is that it solves is that a lot of places, a lot of apartments that are, let's say, have a lot of low wage workers. They're limited by the amount of floor space. For example, in how many extra people you can overcrowd the room with.
Yes.
Because every person needs a laying down area to sleep.
Very inefficient way to store people.
That's right. And a lot of the time, there's even less space in a room than it appears because of... of that space that you have to open the door and close the door with.
You're exactly right. The swing room.
Of course, you could take off the door, but that might actually not give you enough extra space to put in another person. So if you keep the door on, allowing you still, even though there's 2-3 people in your room, to have some privacy, but you could also, you know, if you're the person who is, let's say, the slum lord of this apartment, either building or just apartment itself,
or slum lady,
or slum lady. I mean, I don't know why you're gendering lord.
Really?
Yeah, is lord a man's name?
I think lord, like lords and ladies, are the two genders of upper crust nobility.
Oh, I see a lady. I don't see a lady as being that upper crusty.
Okay. But Alistair, can I tell you the problem that I think this solves?
Yeah.
The problem that I think this solves is nowadays when you say, let's go indoors, you're not actually in a door.
Any doors,
are you?
Yeah. No, no, you're right.
You're more like, let's go to the other side of the door.
Let's go in rooms.
In rooms. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That's better. But now indoors
but
can
outdoors,
be able start using.
Outdoors is still correct.
Well, Outdoors could also refer to in rooms, as far as I'm concerned, in this new
absolutely
reality.
But we can admit, at least, unless the world in some way is used to clog some hole, cave entrance or something like that, right? Some big spatial cave entrance, that the world is not a door.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, the outdoors, while we're
that's my point.
In the world, is still correct.
Yes.
But
yes,
its definition is being widened to also mean in rooms.
Yes. Yeah. And now that we have in rooms, now we can have indoors, and I feel that people, if we were to measure global stress levels,
yeah,
I feel like after this change, it's probably going to go down a little. Because without realizing it, we've been living some kind of a lie. And our language has been lying to us. And I think there will be an unconscious unease that we've been experiencing. I mean, who knows? Maybe this is original sin. You know, the constant lying of talking about indoors, even though nobody's actually in a door. It might have nothing to do with the apple and the tree. It could just be this sort of linguistic deception that we haven't realized that we've been perpetuating and inflicting on our children as well.
Absolutely. It's definitely it's definitely been having a non-zero effect on us. And we can't at the moment quantify exactly the amount until we can start installing these doors and seeing the improvements in people's mental health. But of course, sorry, just to, you know, because but it will also change the definition of in rooms, because which I know we've only just invented in rooms and out rooms, but once you go into the door, you're actually out room.
It's true.
Out rooms.
Yeah.
Because you're so much on the cusp of the room, of two rooms, really.
You're so hallway. Much on the cusp.
You're much on the cusp.
Extremely on the cusp.
That to try to define you as being in rooms, you know, because really you're in hall and rooms.
Two and girls, one cusp. Yeah.
Two rooms, one tough, was that?
I said two girls, one cusp. I'm sorry.
Or it's one cusps. Yeah.
One cusp. Yeah.
Do you think that's about, I mean, that could have been the name of Thelma and Louise.
Yep. Or maybe that movie Booksmart, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Which I believe is two girls on the you know, the verge of womanhood, possibly.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, maybe breaking up his friends.
Oh, yeah. Is that the case? I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah, I think maybe, I expect a little bit more because of the hype.
A lot of movies. Let's go through all the movies that can
where
be redone.
People are on, could, are on a cusp.
Yeah, well, two girls. It has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Alistair, I just want to, while we're talking about words that could mean something else,
yeah.
The term brainwashing,
yeah,
actually, like if you remove the meaning of that word that I'm going to say you've been brainwashed into believing, then it sounds actually like it could be a really pleasant experience.
Yeah,
I can't guarantee it, but I think having my brain sluiced with warm but just slightly cold water, I think that would actually be great. Like, if you could take my brain out, keep it connected.
Get a little extension cord. You know, like if they unplug some of the nerves and then plug them in one by one into this extension cord.
Yes. Yes.
So that it was all being...
spinal extension cord. Extension spinal cord.
Because I would like to watch brainwashing.
Yes.
I'd like to brainwash somebody brainwash me.
So I'm picturing your brain is sitting on some sort of a grating, or maybe just in a regular colander in the kitchen that you would use to strain pasta. They've got the tap on. They've got it a perfect temperature.
See, I picture a soapy water in a bowl, a big bowl.
Yeah, I like. No, you're right. I like that it's soapy.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a man. There's a man. He's just kind of he knows how to hold it. He knows how to hold the brain.
Yeah.
Because it probably falls apart pretty easily.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Mine does. At least it is today.
So soap, bit of soap, gently sponging it, okay? Then a rinse, okay? And then a very vigorous toweling down with nice scratchy towel. All of that. Yeah.
And then he might even, I reckon when he's putting it back in to your skull.
A blow dry.
Yeah, but he's, putting it back in. He's kind of like... You know, like just his fingers on the inside of your skull in between, you know, just kind of like.
That's actually the only bit of this whole thing that's turned me off a little bit.
Really? I just picture it on, you know, like as he's kind of like tucking it in properly, like it's like his fingers are in between your brain and the inside of your skull. I don't know. I think I kind of like that because then he gives it a new fluid, a new brain fluid. Like he opens up a fresh bottle of brain fluid.
Yeah, like changing the sump oil.
And then he puts it in blub, 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 like that. And he's like, oh, man, that's going to be good. That's going to feel real good. Even might even put something a little bit more viscous just so that it gives it that extra protection.
Sure. I mean, we've come up with so many new fluids since brain fluid was invented. We must have improved on it somehow. Exactly. Valvoline.
Yeah, Valvoline?
WD-40.
Oh, yeah.
Valvoline. There's, yeah, I love that. I love that as a sketch idea, Alistair. Brainwashing. Yeah, no.
The good type.
Now, this guy, does he have a shirt on?
And you know what? For some reason,
is it linen?
I see him dressed like a masseuse. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's a masseuse. I don't know.
Yeah, he's... Keeping it masseuse.
Keeping it masseuse. I don't know what that means.
I mean, what was your sluice one? Was it because
you had said
the water?
You had said sluice earlier, and I pictured liquid. Right. I mean, a real masseuse is probably a priest. Right?
Why is that?
Well, I mean, they're sort
because he gives mass.
Yeah, they're giving mass, so they're massaging you.
Yeah.
It's a massage. Right. It sounds like it's the French word for receiving mass.
Mm.
Of course, the real meaning of receiving mass is called impact.
Yeah, you're right. Yep, good. That, I guess, is... sort of more describes what a masseur does in our current understanding.
Yeah.
This is getting confusing, Alistair.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, words have many meanings. Is the masseur massage thing have anything to do with the mass, their mass? Like, has it got to do with applying physicalness to it?
We shouldn't rule it out. Yeah, you know? We absolutely should not rule that out. I mean, sorry to use this term, you're the Frenchy here.
Yeah.
Right? And it feels very French. Masseur.
Masseur.
And so can you tell me anything about what that means in the French? Does it mean masseur?
And yeah, I don't think I can. I mean, I feel like I wouldn't have been asking the question if I had.
Yeah, but I was wondering if you hadn't engaged the French part of your brain, which I know that you switch off a lot so that you can pass as a normie.
Well, it does
Australian
come from
society.
The French massy.
Mm.
Massy, which I guess.
Which means to press, maybe? To press?
Yeah, maybe.
And if that's the case, then I wouldn't be at all surprised if there wasn't an origin, Alistair, between sort of the weight concept of mass and the word masseur, and, you know, maybe then the Higgs boson, the particle that gives everything mass, should actually be called a masseur. And
so then origin,
we can move on.
Origin comes from Portuguese, massa, which is dough.
Yeah.
Then to the Portuguese amassar, which is to knead. Then it goes to the French masser, which is knead, treat with massage. And so massage is to knead.
Yeah, they are just treating you like a big old dough ball.
Yeah, they're treating they're just the bakers of the human world.
Well, I mean, what it makes me realize is that maybe when you're at the you know, sometimes say you know how a vet can sometimes give a bit of health advice to a human and it's okay. Maybe sometimes Alistair, don't hold me up on this.
I think,
all right?
I love a guy who goes and sees a vet while he tries to get a bit of free medical advice while he's seeing the vet. But for his dog, he goes,
well,
I got this rash. What do you think? Just give me your best guess.
This is from Seinfeld. It's a plot line from Seinfeld.
It is a plot line?
Kramer does it because he discovers he has a cough and he doesn't want to pay for the doctor. But then he finds a dog that has the exact same cough. And so he takes it to a vet to try and get medical advice.
It is
good. But this is my version, which is that you're at the
peak. You're at the same cough.
You're at the pizza restaurant, okay? And you see them there. You've got a bad back. You see them there working on the pizza dough. And you do a bit of quick mental maths. And you're like, well, you know, I go to a talented masseur. You know, they're paying $100. You know, I'm paying $100 maybe for one massage.
Yeah.
You look at the economies of scale that these guys are doing the pizza, and they're doing, you know, probably a fraction of a cent per pizza in order for it to be financially viable, say. Right. You just get up there on one of those floured chopping boards that they use.
Yeah.
That's floured surface. You lie down. You say you slip them a couple of bucks and you say, just do me quickly.
Right? Yeah, you get him to flip, spin you above his head, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
throw you up
exactly.
In the air, flatten
they
you
don't
out.
Have the massage oil, but I'm sure they can, you know, a bit of Napoli sauce.
They got olive oil. I think you got to cover it in oil. They got a bit of olive.
If not, they've
got some greasy olives they could smush into your skin.
Yeah, and then
I'd love a pizza massage.
A sort of black market pizza massage that you can get.
Black market pizza massage.
And there's a lot of different cultures that have got their own massage. You know, there's the Thai one that they do with the feet or the elbows or whatever.
How bad would you feel if the pizza place got shut down because the health inspector came in while you were getting one of your black market pizza massages?
Well, there's a lot of issues with...
They come in, you're laying up on the bench... Your whole belly's all chest is in flour, and he's just kneading you like that while another guy's pulling a pizza out of the wood fire. And he goes, "It was just a slow. We had a moment."
You know, I reckon
guy had a knot.
the whole pizza setup they got there, they could give you a full like health spa retreat in a really short space of time.
Yeah.
Right, they do those pizza bases in a couple of seconds. They'll do you the massage. You know, why sit in a sauna at 50 degrees for an hour when you could go in that pizza oven at like, you know, 300 degrees,
be in there 30
for just
seconds.
A couple of seconds, get the same thing done.
Well, that's what it implies, is that all that kneading that happens with massage, if it does come from kneading, it probably implies that you do actually need to be heated afterwards.
Yeah, so that you can rise.
They're not. Yeah. Well, at first you got to be left in a sort of a humid cupboard for 30 minutes.
A proving oven.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think it's just a warm cupboard.
They call it a proving or proving drawer.
Yeah. I know. And okay.
I don't have to prove myself to anybody.
And then they slide you into something pretty hot.
Mm.
But like, I don't know. I don't know what it would be like to be caramelized on the outside. I think it would be good.
Yep. Like, I mean, third degree caramelization.
Well, it burns look bad on a human. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
But caramelization never looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think either...
Caramelize.
So either we're not burning ourselves enough.
Mm.
Imagine that you burnt yourself to the point where you had crackling.
Yep.
You get to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, you're in emergency. And they go, and then you go, when you guys treat this, can you put that bit aside for me? Between you and me, I did this on purpose.
There'd be doctors who would look at that wound and be like, you know, normally we wouldn't do this, but this is so perfectly done that it would be a greater crime not to engage in cannibalism.
Well,
you know, there's a certain point at which the man flesh has been so perfectly preserved that, you know, this is very often my justification with when I do eat the boys' leftover sausages or something, if they don't eat all their meat. Because I don't eat meat, but I will eat the leftovers if they're just going to go in the bin. And it's the same with somebody who's caramelized themselves perfectly in an industrial oven.
Yeah.
You know, the doctor's there and say, look, we know that cannibalism is a crime. We keep a poster on the wall there that to remind us. It actually says it. Cannibalism is a crime, right? We have to have that there. But we also understand that there are some crimes that are
But we're also human.
We're also human. We also have a sign to remind us of that. And it wouldn't be cannibalism if we weren't human. You know, that's the irony of it.
Mm.
And it's the reason against it and the reason for it, in a way. And that's why, we have special dispensation from the medical review board that if it's too good not to eat, we will.
Especially if you come in with a whole thigh of crackling, right?
A
whole thigh of crackling, right? Like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're winking at the doctors as you're coming in. You're like wincing in pain as well, but you're like winking and you're like, did this for you guys. and then you're like, all right, let's all break bread together now. And then after they take off all the really burnt bits and everything like that, and they dress the wound and everything like that. And then they roll you in to, you know, there's operating theater. Then they roll you in to the dining theater.
Nah.
And there's wine, there's bread, and then in the middle there's a platter with your whole side of crackling, which is your leg. And now this is a way to thank the health workers.
Yeah, you're right.
Beautifully crisped thigh fat like that. And you're all laughing. I mean, you, it's mostly because you're on the drugs, and them because they're getting the free meal. You're laughing and you did this on purpose, but they took an oath. They took an oath and they can't not
again
treat you.
This should be an option in a truly free society. This would be an option as an alternative for paying for healthcare, right? What we would just do is we would just train up cannibals to be doctors. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, you can go and you can get free healthcare at the cannibal clinic, but they do eat your bits afterwards.
They're allowed to eat your body while they're treating you.
Well, no, I mean, you know, if they have to cut any bits off or anything, okay, they eat them. So if you're getting an amputation or something, it's crazy that there are people who want to eat people, okay, and then there are people who medically need to have bits cut off their body, and the people who need to get the bits cut off their body are having to pay for it, and the people who want to eat the people cut bits off people and eat them are going to prison. I mean, that's insane.
Exactly.
You can't tell me that makes sense.
No, and it doesn't make sense.
We'll have this
medical cannibalism.
Medical cannibalism. Yes, we cannibal. That should have been Obama's campaign for healthcare.
To reduce medical waste.
Free healthcare. Mm-hmm. And that as well. Another crime.
I fear that it's dangerous to have it as the doctors because it's like, doctor, you're recommending amputation again? But I think to have like a little side business to keep, you know, to help, especially struggling hospitals that, you know, aren't getting the funding that they need.
Mm.
You know, I think, you know, to have that dining theater in there. Because there's people who obviously want to eat the body parts. And there's some people who are not cannibals, but they love to watch cannibals eat body parts.
There must be.
Because you could sell tickets to that.
That must be an even harder thing.
Yeah, it's so hard because it's something criminal, but then you need somebody to do something criminal in order for you to be able to watch it. Mm. But then to sell tickets to that, it's still like the operating theater, but it's like one of those mukbangs. Where people like to watch people eat, but it's live.
I don't know about mukbang. It sounds much worse than it is.
I think you would hate it because it's a lot of slurping and stuff like that. but to think of it, like you see this person, they've got like a leg from somebody who's lost it due to diabetes.
You know,
there's a big leg there. Then they've got like just like a bowl, kind of looks like popcorn chicken, but it's just like tumors that have been removed. Just
Christ.
A bowl, deep fried, crumbed like that. Then there's like somebody's like boiled hair clippings from hairdressers, you know, and made like a kind of like a noodle dish of some sort with like a. Mm. You know, I don't know, like with like an earwax sauce or something.
I think if we could find a way to selectively legalize cannibalism for tumors, and you get cannibals with a certain amount of medical expertise, you know, nobody's going to be more diligent in making sure that they've removed every little bit of the tumor if that's what they're allowed to eat, right? They're going to be in there. They're going to be getting every last cell of it. And
yeah, I know, but I'm worried that they're actually going to get a little bit extra outcomes. A little bit extra.
No, well, they're
meat
not
on
that. We have some way of telling. I don't know what it is.
Oh, we have a doctor there just watching them, somebody who really knows about this stuff. But then we're like, well, why don't we just get that guy to do it?
I mean, I think if you were a cannibal doctor, you'd realize you had such a good deal going with this setup that you would be crazy to push the boundaries. We don't push them.
Yeah,
exactly. I think we can trust cannibals, Alistair.
Yeah. I mean, especially if it's just a tumor cannibal. You know, there must be subsections of cannibals who just want to eat cancerous cells.
Mm. They must.
There must be. I mean, for them, if they could just get that cancer and just grow it in petri dishes, because it just never stops growing, right? Isn't that the problem with cancer?
I think that's the problem.
You know, it'd be like having like a sourdough mother or whatever, sourdough
culture
that you could just keep it bubbling away or whatever, reproducing itself.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that would be a good, you know, good context for a lot of kneading and rising of the product. How many sketch ideas do we have, Alistair? I haven't been prompting you to write things down.
Yeah. We have five, actually, Andrew.
That's good. That's the sweet spot.
Yeah. So do you think we should go to three words from a listener?
I don't just think we should. I think it's our obligation. You
know, we have listeners who send in three words, which they do from becoming patrons on the Patreon.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Maybe patreon.com/2intank? That's how you do it. It's the kindest thing any person can ever do. And we
it's
are
a
grateful.
Beautiful community.
Thank you to everyone who is there. And thank you to everyone who is even considering to be there. And thank you to everyone who isn't there. I'm just saying, you shouldn't be robbed of thank yous just because you're not there.
Exactly.
I mean, but are there any added benefits for people to be patrons then? Well, there's the three words thing. And today's three words
and if
from...
you're, if, and that's if you've got the king's ear. But if you've got the overflow tank, that means you also get the two bonus episodes a month.
Yeah, two bonus. Two bonus. So today's three words come from Kevin Packrad.
Kevin Packrad.
We thank you. Maybe it's not Packrad. Maybe it's Packrad.
Don't overthink it, Al.
Packrad. Packrad. It just feels... I don't know if... Where would that come from? Packrad.
I don't know. It's
P-A-K,
a great name, though.
P-A-K-R-A-D. It's all A's and P's and K's and R's and D's. You know? No other levels, no other letters in there or levels. It's one of those one level words because it doesn't mean anything else.
Nobody, when it comes to writing names and giving their kids names, specifies the direction that the name should be written in. I'm going to give my next child a name that has to be written vertically down the page.
Yeah. I guess Packrad could be a sort of a way of summarizing Pakistani radical.
Maybe that's
so maybe Kevin's
I think that's great.
Ancestor was a Pakistani radical. And that's how he got that. That was his job, which I remember hearing when I listened to the podcast documentary The Assassination about the murder of Benazir Bhutto. They mentioned in there that you know, I think this can happen in places where there is corruption, that the Pakistani government could use some of the terrorist groups to do some of their dirty work and keep their hands clean. So if there was somebody, you know, even if it was the military or something like that who wants to get somebody got rid of, they could use one of the terrorist groups there, you know? And maybe Kevin's ancestor was a member of one of those terrorist groups. And there is blood, at least, you know, not directly on Kevin's hands, but
in his hands.
In his hands, maybe passed down from generation to generation.
It's very possible, Alistair. And this is the kind of thing that you could get accused of if you're a supporter of us on Patreon. Complicity in the murder of the former Prime Minister of Pakistan.
Prime Minister, President? I can't remember. Anyway, can you name the name of any other leaders of Pakistan?
There was another Bhutto, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think so.
I think there was a Bhutto dynasty.
Yeah, Bhutto was definitely a dynasty. All right, that'll be good enough. But who was the one who appeared on The Daily Show that time? Was it Musharraf?
Oh, maybe? Yeah, it could be. Good, very good. Very good remembering.
I can't remember. Anyway, because I think the first question from John Stewart was, where's Osama bin Laden?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know. And he offered him a Twinkie, the traditional American dish.
Really something.
Yeah.
I should look that up.
And I think they had to make the desk armored for that recording because of... Anyway, so thank you, Kevin, anyway, for bringing all this in, the richness of your culture into... into this episode. I'm so sorry, Kevin. So, do you want to guess what Kevin's three words are?
Yep. Trench.
French?
Trench.
No, but you got two letters correct. The first word is
good
porn.
Enough for me. P-O-R-N.
P-O-R-N. Okay. Did you just say, oh, that's good Napoli?
No.
Okay, but, great.
I wish I had.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the first word is porn.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Then the next word is resuscitation.
Ooh, not close at all. Parasite.
Porn parasite. Okay. Toenail.
Toenail? I don't know why I feel like this is close, but the last word is inception.
Yeah, I feel like that's close as well.
Yeah. porn, so we got porn, parasite, inception.
Parasite, inception. Yeah, okay. I mean, let's make a version of the movie Inception, but exclusively for wet dreams. Mm. So Leonardo DiCaprio has the ability to go into people's dreams, but only...
He has the ability to go into people's wet dreams.
Yeah, only the horny ones.
So he waits, he monitors people and waits so that they haven't masturbated for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And then he goes into their dreams, their really sexy dreams. And what's he trying to get?
Well, that's interesting.
Or implant.
If in the original Inception, it was things that he could only get out of them in a certain context. So it feels like in a wet dream, like the certain thing that you could get out of people is some form of ejaculate of one form or another.
Well, but maybe.
I don't know what the advantage of getting dream ejaculate is over getting actual ejaculate.
Ejaculate, yeah. I reckon the way that this would kind of work out is that, let's say you're a person who lives in L.A. in the porn capital. I can't remember what it's saying.
Okay.
San Bernardino or something like that. I can't remember exactly. And you make a sex toy specifically for porn, right?
Mm.
It's like one of those, I don't know if you've ever heard of... I think there was a strap-on, I think, that I may have encountered at some point in the world of watching things, where it's a strap-on, but if you're a woman, you place it into your own vagina, and then you have sex with a woman, and it kind of is mostly just held in there through that, maybe through clenching, but I think maybe also they wear stockings to help it, because it probably doesn't just stay in there, right? And then Sure. You can have sex with a woman. Yep. But then you also get something out of it because there's something inserted in you. But this is, you're a guy who's invented one of those, but for men, so that they can put it into their rear end and then have the strap-on come forward and they can have a penis, but a rubber one.
Okay, great. Yep.
And so, but it kind of goes underneath your other penis and it kind of actually, the testicles kind of get in the way. So you can see why there's already a few problems with this thing, because not a lot of guys need a second penis, especially one that means that they have to wear stockings to hold it in.
Yeah.
Potentially. You got to ruin the stockings by putting a hole in them, things like that, unless you can get male stockings to have that Y front.
Yep.
So you can see how there's a problem here where this product, which this person has invested a lot of money into, right?
Yeah. A lot of government money.
A lot of government money.
There's a lot of scrutiny.
They got one of those R&D grants from the government in order to develop this. And it's really important that it works out. And so they hire Leonardo DiCaprio to go into people's wet dreams and make people horny for that thing.
Oh, Alistair.
They think
you're right. It's for sort of putting in the germs of a new kink or something like that. You know, you've invented a product and you're trying to do a viral marketing campaign by getting people to unconsciously have a kink for the thing that you came up with. And you know what? This isn't just good for sex toys like you described. And that was a great one, Alistair. It was a great one. But really, I mean, this is a great way to market any product, right? And it's a thing that hasn't really been explored. But the ability to go into people's brains and say you've invented a new type of scrubbing brush, right?
Mm-hmm.
Additional different types of bristles, okay? But you're having trouble marketing it. Well, you can't shift these bloody things. The market's already saturated. Well, the way you might be able to get around this is via the new marketing channel of making people horny for your product. They don't want to buy it for its dish brushing abilities. They are buying it because they have an erotic fascination with it that they can't explain, but you can. Leonardo DiCaprio put it there by going into their wet dreams.
And so then they want to get that brush because they're horny for it. Because I've never gone shopping horny, so I don't know what that would be like.
Yeah, well, they say don't shop horny.
They say never shop horny because you'll end up buying a lot of, I don't know, dick-shaped items or you know, or vagina or butt or, you know, face. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Shaped things.
Sure.
And so then people would bring it home, and so then they would be horny, and then they would do the dishes.
I mean, from your point of view, you don't care. I think a lot of people get home, it's probably a general kind of horny for the thing where they don't even really know what it is about it that turns them on. The important thing is you just want to get their attention. You want to get them, you know, interested in it. Well, they see it. They can't explain it.
Because somebody told me about like a guy who had a thing about, you know, it was like his kink or whatever was like pulling hair out of the drain of the shower and unclogging it or whatever. Yeah. And then he would pull apart the hair in his fingers. But then and he would kind of have a moment that would be like almost like an orgasm, I guess, with that kind of thing. But then afterwards, he would just feel extreme shame. And it's like, though, it's got something to do with the psychological link between shame and you know, sex and things like that. And so it has something to do with something in their past. So do you think that would, when they would use the brush, it would feel really good, but then afterwards they would just be overwhelmed with shame?
Yeah, that's also the case.
Yeah.
But
and so then they would throw away the brush.
That's great for throw away the brush.
Throw away the brush. But then, of course, you know, a few days later, they'd get horny again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would go and buy that. They'd have to buy another one because they're not going to clean things with something that's been in the dirty bin.
Exactly. So, I think it's in many ways the perfect... Alistair, we can't deny that we are on a path to having chips in our brains, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as we have chips in our brains, there is absolutely nothing to stop companies, unscrupulous companies, hacking the horny center of the brain and imprinting whatever, you know, the outlet, the silhouette of their product, their new manifold exhaust cover. For semi trailers, you know, for long haul truckers, into the horny center of the brain, and then we all become horny for it, and then we want to buy them. That's where we're going.
That's where we're going, and we just got there first. Well, and that'll actually be cheaper than having to pay one agent to go into each person's wet dream. Because especially if you're selling sort of brushes for sort of $3 a piece, it's, you know, you in order for that to be financially viable, you're going to need to sell a lifetime of brushes.
Yeah.
Unless you can get somebody to do it on the cheap. You know, if you can get a whole, maybe like a whole sort of call center of people in a poor country
hacking
to sort of
into
go
brains.
Into people's brains. You know, I don't know, maybe via virtual reality they could do it that way.
I think that's very likely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, and so then I mean, it feels unfair, but do you think that you could then be horny in a different accent? Like, do you think the horniness would take on a different accent because they're whispering it to you in a slightly, like, just less perfected English?
Yeah, I think that could well turn out to be one of the giveaways. But I think by that point, it's too late, you know? You just have you're just Filipino horny.
Yeah.
For salad spinners.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Nothing about that you can do. Well, Andy, I think what we got ourselves. I hope you're happy with that, Kevin. You know, that's as porn parasitic as inception as we can get. And the parasitic part is, of course, it's this company that's living off of the
exactly
the desire for sex. So I'll take you through the sketch ideas for today, Andy. We got door rooms, sleeping indoors.
Yep.
It's going to be easy to promote this. You think you've been sleeping indoors, but actually you've not really. And now you can. And you can fit an extra five people in your house.
Yep.
You got brainwashing, the good type. That's when a masseuse type person takes your brain out and washes it in front of you in a bowl of soapy water, tops up the water, you know, sews your skull lid back on real nice.
I can't tell you why it's them touching the inside of my skull that is the only bit of this that I'm really uncomfortable about.
So you just want them to just drop it into your skull and then just put the lid on.
However it
gets positioned, or just shake your head a little bit until it kind of finds its natural location.
Yeah.
I guess it falls into its grooves or whatever.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
It might need to be shoved in. Like, it might be a bit fluffy, like after you take something out of the tumble dryer.
Yeah, also it's absorbed a bunch of water, and so you kind of got to squeeze it a bit to kind of get it on an extra liquid front. Then we got the black market pizza massage. Yeah, you know, it's where you got all the stuff you need just there. You got the flour, you got your hands that are built for kneading, and you got the olive oil. And just lay me on that silver bench. And lay me on the chopping board and just massage me. I don't know why.
Portuguese style.
You know, I don't know why. I don't think this is something I would want, but it feels like that pizza cutter, that round one, would just, the one with the wheel, would be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Just running down the crack of your ass.
Well, it would be. And that's what's really going to get the health guys coming down.
They're going to be watching that. They go, if you see you on the bench.
Oh, come on.
If they see you on the bench, right, they're still going to go, all right, let's see where this goes. Right?
Yeah.
Right. They see them throwing flour on your body like that, and then a bit of oil and stuff like that, and really getting into it. They go, all right. I mean, if they wash the bench down, they see them wash their hands afterwards. They say, okay, like that. But it's when you run that pizza slicer down the crack of your ass, even if they're going to wash it. We can't allow that. You got to have one of those.
And I'm one of the cool health inspectors, you know. I'm not a nerd like some of these other guys. I'm pretty open-minded.
Yeah.
But
he's just sitting at the table eating pizza, watching this through the glass, through the glass that allows you to see what they're doing. And he's just eating pizza, and he's just pretending to be a regular customer.
Yeah.
And then he walks out and he goes, look, man, I'm trying to be cool. I'm trying to save your business. But you can't be running a masseuse business on the side here, black market massage business, at the same time. But maybe they form a bond then. You know, it's that thing where a good guy and the bad guy, they're kind of opposites, but at the same time they could be friends, you know?
Sure. I mean, they are. It's like two sides of the same coin, aren't they?
Well, it's like the opposite of a superhero movie, because usually superhero movie, they start out as friends and then they become enemies. Whereas this one, they start out as enemies, natural enemies. Mm. The black market pizza shop masseuse and the health inspector, right? They start out as natural enemies, but it's something about this that makes them understand each other more, and it's that blooms into a friendship.
I mean, it's like, you know, the cops that wind up feeling more in common with the criminals, because they but at least they both understand the world that they're in.
Yeah,
you know, and that, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the, you know, this health inspector eventually slides himself into the dark world of,
well, I mean, who better to help you? Massage. Who better to help you run a dirty kitchen than somebody who knows the health inspector world?
Yeah.
They know what they're going to be looking for, and he could teach you how to keep your kitchen dirty without arising the suspicions of the health inspectors.
You know, they do a health inspector is a noble job. I'd say it's right up there with being on the front line of any other emergency service.
Mm.
But they don't, there haven't been any dramas that explore, you know, the complicated relationship they must have with the owners of dirty kitchens.
Yeah. And sometimes they probably love the food from dirty kitchens.
Mm.
And they go, I can't shut this. Yeah. I don't know what happens in that movie, but
Donnie Brasco was what's his name? Oh, Captain Jack Sparrow. Johnny Depp I think he plays an undercover cop in with the mafia for a really long time.
Oh, cool. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
And then we got burnt yourself to a crackling, and then you share it to share it with the doctors as a way of thanking the doctors.
Right. Slash the alternative health system that involves cannibalism.
Well, we've got that as a separate sketch, which is medical cannibalism.
Okay, great.
Medical cannibalism meals, which is a way of increasing hospital budget, lowering... I wrote lower race, but I meant lower waste. I don't know how my brain... got that wrong. Anyway, lowering waste, and it's a way of getting rid, you know, there's people who need to have limbs cut off. There's people who want to pay to eat flesh, human flesh, and there's people who don't want to pay to have their limbs cut off. And then we got Wet Dream Inception to market failed products by kinkifying them.
Kickstarter. That'll be my website to crowdfund for new experimental sex toys. I'm sure that already exists. Kickstarter.
It must.
Andy, that's the end. Thank you.
Well, we got to go into the song and then go.
Yeah. Thank you
music.
So much for listening to Two in the Think
in
Tank.
The music. I'm Alistair George William Chombley Birchall. You can find me on Twitter at AlistairTB. You can find me on Instagram at A Chombley Birchall.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
We're at Two in Tank on both. You can support us on Patreon if you want. I think it's probably patreon.com/Two in Tank. You can get Magma if you've never watched it. You can get that from sospresents.com. We're part of Stupid Old Studios. I don't know if you knew that. We're not with Planet Broadcasting anymore. I don't know if anybody noticed that.
We're free agents.
We're free agents right now. We might get tied up. We're kind of what's that thing where we're kind of like Tarzan. We're kind of serial monogamists. You know, we don't let go one vine without grabbing onto the next.
Yeah. But although at the moment we have.
Yeah, at the moment we have, and we're exactly falling. We're in free fall.
Yeah.
We're about to hear the jungle floor, and there's a lot of danger down there.
And we
love you.
You. Thank you.
Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
And each other.
And each other. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.